Now, when I was a kid, we had kind of a tradition every Thanksgiving where we would take a minute or two before our meal, our Thanksgiving dinner, and just go around and say one or two things that we were thankful for. And of course, as a kid, you know, it was usually pretty simple things. I'm thankful for my dog. I'm thankful for my toys. I'm thankful for my friends. Simple things that kind of are at the forefront of a kid's mind. But, you know, looking back, that's a good thing to do, is to take time and to reflect on what we're thankful for and what we believe that God has blessed us with. And I think most of us, if we do that today, assuming we do that, we probably still will consider things of this earth, things around us that we see. Now, we might be a little more advanced. We might say, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the possessions that I have, the money that I have, you know, my wealth, or whatever it might be that we might say that that we live a comfortable life, whatever it might be. We might say that we're thankful for those things. But do we ever stop and say, I'm thankful for my faith in Jesus. I'm thankful that I can come to Mass and receive our Lord in the Eucharist. I'm thankful that God has given me another day. Do we ever do that? Do we ever thank God for spiritual things, for the spiritual gifts that He has given us? Unfortunately, I think for most of us, we really don't. We don't think about our spiritual life. We take it for granted. Well, there's always going to be Mass at the church. There's always going to be a spiritual life here in Malta. We take it for granted. And so when we look at this first reading, there's a couple of passages that we might misinterpret. Passages go that God will spread prosperity like a river. The wealth of the nations will flow like an overflowing torrent. Bodies will flourish like the grass. And we might look at that from a purely worldly view, where we talk about, oh, if we're faithful to God, we will, we'll receive wealth, we'll receive prosperity, we will have health. Our bodies will flourish like the grass, we'll have good health, and our bodies will be strong. You might think that. Of course, that's not what the reading is talking about. It's talking about spiritual prosperity, that if we are faithful to God, we will receive an overflowing torrent of God's grace, of that gift from God that we need to love Him and love our neighbor, to serve Him and to serve our neighbor as we are called to do. The Jerusalem that we see talked about in the first reading is not the earthly city. It's not the place where you can go down to Billings and catch a couple of flights and eventually in about 24 hours you'll be in this city of Jerusalem. You can go do that right now if you want it. That's not what the reading's talking about. It's talking about this image of the new Jerusalem we see in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we see this image of the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven and where all the saints will reside. They will live in this new Jerusalem. This is what it's talking about. It's talking about the new creation that we have become through baptism so that we can then enter into the new kingdom, the new Jerusalem that awaits us. And so ultimately, the message of this first reading is the message of the gospel. Not just the gospel as in the gospel passage, but the message of the good news that our Lord gave us. And of course, in the gospel reading, we hear that message. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. That's the message of the gospel. God's kingdom is here, and we are called to be a part of it. Unfortunately, it's a message that I think everyone needs to hear, but very few are listening. Very few are actually listening to this gospel message and taking it to heart, that the kingdom of God is at hand and we are called to be a part of it. Instead, there are so many in our world today, in our families, in our community, and so on, who are hearing false gospels. They're hearing false gospels that the world is proclaiming of materialism, of wealth, of doing what we want. A gospel of the world. That's what they're hearing. And we see that so much when there are so many people in our lives who do not take a faith life seriously. Again, they kind of take it for granted that there is going to be a spiritual life, if they even think about it at all. So many don't. And so because of that, they need to hear that message. That message needs to be proclaimed to them. And so who's going to do that? Us. All of us. Each and every one of us sitting here. We need to be like the 72 going out and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. We need to go out and proclaim that good news of salvation. Go out and proclaim that good news of the coming of the kingdom of God. Because to use the analogy of the gospel, there is a harvest of souls waiting for us to reap in our community. Here in Malta, here in our families, there is a harvest of souls that are waiting for us. But we need laborers for this harvest. We need people to get out there and get the harvest. You know, you don't have to be a farmer to realize that you can plant a crop, but if you don't actually harvest it at the right time, it's not going to go to market and you're not going to get any money. You got to go out there and get it. You got to go harvest the crop. I mean, that's that simple. Well, there's a harvest of souls waiting for us, and so we need laborers to go out and harvest it. And of course, who is the laborers? Is it the priests? Absolutely. Is it those who work for the church? Definitely. But who else is it? All of you. Each and every member of the baptized. Myself, people who work for the church, lay people in the church, people who just come to Mass, people who volunteer for activities at church. We are all called to be laborers in the harvest. And so we need to get out there with some urgency and harvest those souls for Christ. Bring them to Christ. Bring them the gospel message. Bring them the good news of salvation. Bring them the good news of the gospel of kingdom. And how urgently do we need to do that? Ask a farmer about August or September or October how urgent the harvest is. Here's a hint. You might find them in the fields harvesting as quick as you can. That's how urgent we should be doing the harvest of souls. We should be rushing out of here to harvest souls, to bring people to Christ, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, instead of, yeah, I guess. I'll let someone else do it. It's not really my thing. It's not my concern. That's how we treat it. We treat it like a farmer who would look at his crop ready to be harvested and kind of go, yeah, maybe next week. Now, farmers, how many of you would do that? I know the answer. None. You'd be out there. As soon as you see the crop is ready, you'd be out there. Same for us. We need to be the laborers in the harvest. We need to be getting out there and proclaiming that good news in the gospel. And the fact is, we're afraid to. Let's be honest. We might make excuses. We're afraid to. After all, someone might give us a dirty look if we say something about our faith. Someone might make a snide remark. Someone might get angry at us. So be it. We need to do it. They need to hear it. They might make that snide remark. They might give you that dirty look. They might even get angry. But you might be planting an idea in their head. Again, to use the farmer's analogy, you might be planting a seed that will come to harvest at some point, because you were willing to share your faith. You were willing to talk about what we believe as Catholics and why. Does that mean we have to learn our faith? That we know what we believe as Catholics and why? Oh yeah, that's kind of the point. So my encouragement to you is go out there and be laborers in the harvest. There is a great harvest of souls just waiting for the gospel. And we need to be the ones to do it. May you truly be the laborers in that harvest. And so that our names will be written in heaven as the apostles and the disciples and the saints and those who have gone before us, their names are written in heaven.